Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. Today I'm joined by Lori Weigel. Lori's been on the program before. Welcome back, Lori.
Thanks, Allison.
Lori, why don't you describe for the audience your role at Intel?
Back in November of last year, we established a new function within Intel, which we call the Ecotechnology Program Office. And the Ecotechnology Program Office is responsible for the market engagement around the sustainable manufacturing and use of our products.
And this spans anything from atom to titanium in terms of energy consumption?
That's correct, the whole product line. And we actually look across four different areas of engagement. The first is sustainable manufacturing. What are we doing in our operations to make sure that we minimize our environmental footprint? Then we look at our products, as you said, everything from atom to titanium, and driving energy efficiency and power management functionality into them. And then we're also focused on design for the environment. What can we do up front to make sure that our products are recyclable and have as little environmental impact at their end of life as possible? And then the fourth area, which is really a lot of fun, is working with the industry and broader initiatives around the environment.
And lately, Intel's been talking about this 2% impact, 98% impact thing. And this is a new message from Intel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Overall, ICT, or information and communications technologies, account for 2% of global CO2 emissions. But the bigger story, really, is that ICT can have a huge impact on the other 98%. So, you know, you can think about things like implementing sophisticated logistics systems for trucking companies as an example. Using the intelligence of a computer, you can route the trucks much more efficiently, use a lot less fuel, have a very positive impact on the environment while using just a little bit of data processing technology.
Where is Intel's role in the 98%? And are we expecting Intel to enter new businesses because of this?
There are a lot of opportunities to apply technology where we haven't applied it before. One that I've been personally looking at is the whole delivery of electricity. And it turns out that there are opportunities at every level of that chain, both for Intel products, but certainly for greater efficiency.
So does that mean that you're going to make it easier for me to program my home thermostat?
I'm not sure that I'm ready to sign up for quite that challenge today, but certainly there's a lot of activity in the broad category of smart buildings and what people can do to improve the use of energy within a building or home, in your case, with your programmable communicating thermostat. I learned a new acronym, by the way, at Lawrence Berkeley National Labs of PCT, which is Programmable Communicating Thermostat.
So I'm finally going to get a thermostat that will talk to me.
Well, I hate to disillusion you, but the communicating part isn't actually to you, it's to the utility company. So the utility companies are all working on demand response systems so that, say, in the event in California of a potential brownout, we could actually, with permission from the user, the utility could actually turn your temperature up if it's a hot day on your thermostat, that sort of thing.
Could it also be used to push electricity back to the grid for people who are generating through solar panels, for example?
One of the big impacts to the grid from emerging technologies is that the grid really does need to be two-way now.
The green IT issue, is there any geography that stands out as getting it more than another?
In some markets, take Japan as an example, they have such high energy costs, so they're really looking for the next level, and their government is actually being very active in providing incentives to technology companies to produce innovations that go beyond what's available today, as well as incentives for consumers to adopt them. In Europe, I would characterize it as they are more holistic in their attitudes and understanding of end-to-end life cycle issues for technology equipment.
What is your vision for where we're going to be in 5 years when it comes to that 98% and changing the world through technology to make the world more efficient?
I think we have an opportunity to be far more sophisticated in our application of technology to the other 98%. Today, we barely have models, and I would argue we don't even have a common language to talk about the way that we address the other 98%. I've started to use a three-pronged description of it, one being using technology to automate existing functions, the second being using technology as a substitution for carbon-intensive activities. An example there would be using video conferencing instead of travel. And the third being my favorite word in this whole eco-space is dematerialization, which is, I think, a really classy word, but what it really refers to is converting atoms to bits, so taking things that were physical and moving them to a digital format. Music would be a good example, or even the process of transitioning to online banking. But those are still very crude categories.
Sure. Well, Lori, thank you so much for being on the program. It's always a pleasure.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, Allison.